Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S.? With more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S., they have everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code POOL at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code POOL at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code POOL. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Welcome to our special weekend show, Sunday Uncensored. Every week, we produce 4 uncensored episodes of the TimCast IRL podcast exclusively at TimCast.com, and we're going to bring you the most important for our weekend show. If you want to check out more segments just like this, become a member at TimCast.com. Now, enjoy the show. Oh boy! Are you guys excited for this one? Take a look at this from DC Drano. The American Red Cross is now asking blood donors if they ever received the COVID vaccine. If you answer yes, they want you to call ahead to see if you're still eligible. Thought the vax was safe and effective. What info are they hiding from us? So I actually went to the Red Cross website on my phone, did the 78 questions and went through the whole thing. Yes, the question is real. It is the last question. And it absolutely does say, if you answer yes, you should call to determine if you're still eligible. Because there's criteria where the COVID vaccine will make you ineligible to transfer blood to another person. We now have this. Breaking news from The Hill. Largest multi-country COVID study links vaccines to potential adverse effects.
This is the olds.
What the whoop-de-frickin'-do, I guess. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think the adverse effects are?
Blood clots.
Myocarditis and Guillain-Barré.
What do you know? Shocking. The problems that everyone has been discussing for the better part of 2.5-3 years now. Now the powers that be are like, oh, hey, we just noticed something, guys.
Dude, all those people are like, a government told me to inject myself with a bunch of shit. And then they just did it. What in the fucking fuck?
This is what I said to
human
Casey
beings,
Neistat.
Dude.
That's not fair. It wasn't.
What the fuck?
You can't just be like, "Oh, government said," because like they were coercing people.
It's worse than this. Casey Neistat tweeted, "Go get vaccinated." I responded with, "No, go talk to your doctor." He said, "That's weird. I didn't go to my doctor. I just pulled up in a drive-thru," and I said, "You pulled into a strange parking lot and let a strange man inject you with a foreign substance? That's fucking insane."
There is a lot of people that were coerced, though. You're right. And I feel for those people,
totally.
Man. The rage they must be feeling right now.
Well, I mean, again, there's a lot of people that were coerced. And there's way more people that nothing is going to happen to. And they're not going to have any adverse effects in their lives. There are some people that are going to have adverse effects. And it sucks for those people. But like the people that went. Got it, that got coerced into it, got it, and don't have adverse health effects, they're going to go about their day and going to be like, I don't understand why people are so upset.
Because their
experience is everything was fine. Now, it's not to say it is for everyone, but they're still going to be like, I don't, you know, doesn't bother me or whatever. So you can't sit there and be like, oh man, you should blah, 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 because you're going to get people that are like, what are you talking about, man? That's not like, that's not even close to what anyone I know experienced or whatever. So the idea, like, I understand having that perspective and I understand that there are people that are like that, but that is not the majority.
Bro, this is the CDC.
Yeah.
This is a global COVID vaccine safety project supported by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. This is straight up US DHS and CDC fucking outright saying they have found increased risk of Guillain-Barré and myocarditis after vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
AstraZeneca was worse. People were getting convulsions.
This is a bigger turning point than I think people give it credit for, because you had a period of time where all of these people that were completely wrong would never admit it. They couldn't. It was a reputation. It was their entire legacy. It was everything. You know, for some of them, it was profit, right? But it was like they could never come out and admit that they were wrong to push so many people when it came to the jab.
They're not doing that now.
But that's what I was gonna say is I think this is like, I think by the time that happens, it'll be way too late for it to have any meaningful interact. You know, there won't be any meaning to it when it happens.
I don't think it's ever gonna happen.
Yeah, I'm saying like we're talking history books, 20, 30, 40 years from now. But I think it's funny how you're starting to see the little slip ups, right? Where like now they're like, crap, well, due to liability, we probably should at least admit, you know, I mean, when the American Red Cross is like, hey, if you've had the jab, we need to talk. Give us a call. That's a change in tone that we haven't seen.
But I think the Red Cross has been doing this for a while. So apparently the news about not giving blood is old, but people are just starting to notice. The news that a CDC-supported group is definitively saying, yeah, the vaccine causes these problems. Well, holy shit.
Did they say cause or they're correlated?
Increased risk. I mean, they never say that. They always say a significant increase in cases of Guillain-Barré among those who received AstraZeneca. ADAM, which is acute disseminated encephalomyelitis, inflammation of the brain and spinal cord from Moderna.
Jesus Christ.
And both Pfizer and Moderna were associated with myocarditis and pericarditis. And a significant observed to expected ratio after the first, second, and third doses. Wow.
I just don't know if it was...
Yo, they're straight up saying die. When they're like, have you gotten your seventh vaccine yet? It's like, okay, well, that will kill you.
If this is like intentional, that they're like, let's just poison people so that there's less of them. Or if they were really trying... Somebody was really trying
Guys,
to help.
You need to understand this. It was liberals who were injecting themselves with the myocarditis formula.
But then they shed spike proteins on their neighbors and shit. That. I think they're spraying it on food too, the mRNA.
Look, man. You inject someone with a chemical, I doubt they start spraying it from their sweat glands. I mean, maybe, but
what's
I'm not.
Protein shedding. Is there?
Like, because listen. Shedding. If that were true, the protein shedding thing.
Pissing it into the.
Then
water
you would have people who
shit.
Are not vaccinated dying from the same thing as people who are vaccinated. So
yeah,
I don't
it's
believe
it's
probably
that. Not as intense. The yeah. shedding's
if,
not
if
as intense.
If there are people who are getting Guillain-Barré and myocarditis, and we know they're all vaccinated, and then the people who never got vaccinated are like, never happened to me.
Right.
They're not shedding. It's just
or
like
the shedding's not as dangerous as it sounds. Kind of
I
thing.
Like the conspiracy theory that like 1 in 6 of the vaccines were like lethal. And that's why most people, I'm not saying it's true. I'm
I can
saying,
picture a group of dudes being like, let's kill them. Let's kill as many
as
we can.
It's the plot to what's that show called? Utopia. The tech billionaire who thinks the world is overpopulated creates a fake pandemic so we can mass produce a vaccine and get it steamrolled through Congress without real approval. And it sterilizes people. There you go.
Awesome.
Well, look. It's not that there's too many people, okay? It's that there's too many liberals and communists.
Not that there's too many that. It's always too
guys,
many
guys. I don't literally want people to die or to be sterilized, but understand the PR of us looking at liberals and saying, "I hope you get the vaccine. Please get your sixth, because when you die, there will be less of you." How do they respond to that?
Can't kill an idea. That's the problem with ideas. Also, the power of ideas.
I'm really glad that you're going to sterilize your children. Cut their balls off. We don't want more of you. What are they going to say? Well, how dare you say that? That's offensive. Why? I'm agreeing with you. Please chop your son's balls off. I don't want your genetics to pollute my country. I don't mean that literally. I'm trying to like create a circumstance in which the left should be offended by what they're doing to themselves. We're happy you're doing it. Please do more. Maybe then they'll fucking stop. Wait a minute, you want us to sterilize our kids? Yes! Maybe we shouldn't do that. Aw. This is where we're currently at.
Man, who'da thunk it, right?
Yeah, ideas definitely seem to die, yeah, but except for communism. You'd think that idea would just die off. But
capitalism probably won't die off either.
Capitalism's more than an idea.
It's more like reality.
It's yeah, right.
It's like competing
for resources.
The
functioning system of resource exchange.
Yeah.
Communism is the unnatural, weird shit.
But capitalism is kind of like an enforced regularity.
I think that. No. So I think that you're talking about capitalism. You're talking about like a lot more stuff than just like exchange.
No, he's talking. Talking about corporatocracy or something. Okay. Yeah. Capitalism quite literally just means the private exchange of goods and resources.
Yeah, and we aren't a purely capitalist economy anyway. We haven't been for a long time.
Like, dude,
a mixed economy.
It took us a while to figure out monopolies and how dangerous.
No. Listen. Go back in time, 50,000 years to the dawn of the first man, and there are two guys, and they're not even wearing clothes, and the one guy has some kind of primitive proto banana. You ever see the old banana? Like, they're starchy. Yeah, bananas, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. Like they're ovals. And the other guy walking has got a, you know, sack. He's got a goat's stomach tied in a knot where he poured the goat's milk into it. They then walk up to each other and the guy goes, oh, go. And then the other guy goes, oh, yeah, none. And then they go, ah, they break it in half and they trade. That's capitalism. There's no system. There's no government. They freely traded goods amongst each other for what they thought was the true value of the goods. Mm-hmm. That's what capitalism means. Whether there's a government or not, it exists. It's just the way things are. Communism would be a third guy walks up, whacks them both over the head, takes their stuff, sits with it, eats most of it, and then gives them little bits. That's communism.
I love when people, the biggest argument against capitalism is the corporatism. You know what I mean? It's all these kind of handouts and these special deals.
Yeah. But that's not capitalism.
I agree. And that's what I mean. I think everybody tries to conflate the two. Mm-hmm. My answer to that is like, go to the doctor and ask him how much it's going to cost to get your tonsils out. You won't get an answer. I mean, when you look at them, you know, the overlay of the insurance companies, the corporations, you know, the health, it's not really even health care, it's health insurance.
It's command economy.
And it's like, I don't want to say we don't have capitalism, but like we absolutely do not have free market capitalism in this country.
We are a mixed economy. We're not a free market capitalist country. We're not a capitalist country. The United States is not capitalist. It is mixed economy.
I think you're right. And it's the people get wrapped up around, you know, the concept of capitalism, what capitalism means. Is it about all these other structures and stuff, or is it just markets and et cetera, et cetera? And I think that even capitalism as an idea or the term capitalism is not really useful, in my opinion, because it's been watered down to not mean what it actually means. We live in a system where we have a government that protects private property rights. Yeah. And that's all you need.
Yeah, that's true.
That if you have private property rights, all of the things that you want from capitalism stem from that.
Yeah.
If you have the right to your property and the right to dispose of your property as you see fit, and the right to keep any property that you acquire or that property you currently own generates for you, as long as those structures, those ideas are protected by your government, and they have to be more than just, well, we'll mostly kind of do it, like the stuff that's happening in New York right now with Donald Trump. The fact that the government's not protecting his property rights, that's going to have negative effects on the economy, and the negative effects are people are not going to do business in New York. They're going to leave. As long as you have property rights that are protected by your government and you have the ability to keep the property that you create, you're going to have people taking the property that they've earned or that they've created, and they're going to be trading. You're probably going to want a medium of exchange to facilitate the trades, because maybe you got sneakers and someone else has eggs and you want some eggs, but he don't want your sneakers. So it'd be nice if you had something that you could use to the intermediary to facilitate that transaction. But these are the fundamental things about capitalism that makes economies work. All of the things like the government getting involved and picking winners and losers and corporatism and all that stuff, that's all foreign to property rights and to a capitalist system.
You know, I was thinking a lot about this and, you know, reading more and more about what's been going on, I really just came to the realization, fuck communists.
Yeah. I mean,
it sucks so much, dude.
Fuck the idea.
The problem is it infests people's soul, and it's not the people that are the problem. It's the idea. You got to shake them loose and make them realize, like, yo, if all of us get together and make it work,
well,
it's going to be some people at the top that end up controlling it.
Shaking or maybe like a merciless beating with a truncheon. I am kidding.
With your words.
Joke. So not to
your
get
verbal truncheon. Yeah.
I know that, like,
convince people.
No violence.
I'm not really a spiritual guy, so I don't delve into spiritual stuff, but the spirit of socialism, the motivating emotion, it's never altruism. They say it is, but it's always hate for people that have more, hate for people they someone looks at someone else's life and they say, that guy has more than I think he
right,
should.
Right.
And I hate him for it. If he was a good person, yeah. If Elon Musk was a good fucking person, he would sell his goddamn spaceships and feed everyone on Earth, but he's a bastard for not doing it. And that's why we have fucking poor people, because nice. Elon Musk and the goddamn billionaires are fucking scum. But that's what they think.
It also is accurate.
It also comes from like, if there's 100 of us, we're all going to be better off if all 100 of us have some. If I keep it all and you 99 get to watch me have it, it's bad. So you want to spread it around in the community?
Hold on.
And the word communism and commune and community.
You're talking quite literally about communism. I agree. You're right. When one person seizes all the resources from everyone else to keep for himself, that's communism. It's bad. Agree.
Or when you divide all the resources among the community.
Yeah, how would, who's are they to divide?
If I have all the food because I grew all the food within my farm and there's 99 other people who want it, they can go fuck themselves. Thank you.
Well, I mean, if you're a tribe and you come up on a new piece of land, you're adding
every time you talk about it, you're adding more context and more things, more rules like to your system.
Community.
To,
it's not about fuck him. This is a system of I want to help all these other people.
That's how it starts. Exactly. It always starts that way.
And it works in small groups.
You want to know how you help people? You teach them to fish. You do not give them fish. So yes, if I have a bunch of
you
fish.
You do both if you can.
No, you don't.
You do. You want to make sure everyone can fish and everyone gets fish.
There are signs everywhere saying do not feed the animals. They'll become dependent and then die.
That's real.
You know what happens if you feed deer? The deer go up to people's homes and kill children. Do not fucking give to the deer. The deer have to learn how to survive on their own. People do this all the time where they put up deer feeders.
You're talking about adults. Okay.
The deer will come to the house and they'll be like, ooh, I want to give the deer an apple. They have videos where the deer walks in the kitchen. They're like, oh, look at the deer family. The deer family then goes to a different house and does the same thing. And the kid freaks out. The deer gets scared and kicks the kid in the stomach.
So what about
and the kid
the crippled
dies.
Guy that can't fish? What about the kids that can't, they're too young. Like this you got to give them fish.
Children
get coins to exchange value for the
get
fish.
Get supported the by their parents, and people who are crippled must provide value in another way to be traded for right. the fish.
Exactly.
The idea that we as a human civilization can support indefinitely people who can't carry their own weight in any capacity is a mathematical fact. It will collapse.
Yeah.
Period.
It only works in small groups. That's the point, I think.
Right. So if a group of people are in a tribe and they come across a bountiful forest full of delicious fruits, well then, yeah, they can take what they want and then divide it amongst each other for the labor that they
provide.
And if
the guy that gets there first is like, I'm going to take all these and sell them to the tribe, you're going to like, that guy's going to get executed.
Probably, because he did not grow them and do the labor for it. And there's barbarism.
He tried to capitalize on people.
No, that's theft.
No, it didn't belong to anybody. He just found it first.
Then if it doesn't belong to anybody, why would they kill him for taking it?
No. War happens.
I mean, if you fuck your tribe over for profit, like,
no,
you know.
No.
Get bent.
He finds the fruit and then says.
He's a scout. Yeah, he's a scout.
And I found it all and I have hoarded it and it's mine.
Yeah. Yeah. Good luck with that one.
Yeah. Good luck. Yeah. Right. If you can't defend your property.
From the community.
So this is war.
So then might makes right. So if he has a gun, he can just shoot everybody trying to take it.
Right.
I mean yeah, these are just.
Yes, but that's not communism.
Yeah, but it's the way I look at it is you're sanitizing force by giving it to the government, right? Weak men do that, right? They're giving the option to the tribe or whoever this fictitious thing is. That, you know, it's always who gets to decide, right? It's just like on hate speech. We'd all love to end hate speech if we could decide what hate speech is or who's the person that decides what is hate speech, right? When you get into that, like there's that layer here, you're saying he's adding rules. It's like, who makes that decision? There was a guy I was with last week. He had this really unique way, super libertarian guy, but he says, I'm tired of people sanitizing theft and violence through their neighbor, right? Through government or trying to act like that somehow that's this moral high ground. So there's only two things that take away happiness every single time it happens to somebody, any of us, any human being: violence, theft. If those happen 100% of the time, your happiness goes down. But for some reason, we give those over to the government. And we say that through our elected officials, you know, this is something that we're going to delegate to them and then make it okay.
So let's talk about the idea of a scout going to a apple orchard. And he says, these are my apples now. Okay, by what practical means does he have to own, convey, and trade with these apples? Yeah. he can carry a bag of them back to the tribe. And what happens? Arms, and what happens when he does carry the bag of apples back to the tribe? They say, you found a bunch of apples. He then says, I will provide these apples to my tribe in exchange for steak and water and food and shelter. He's not building a house. He's a scout. Someone had to have built his shelter for him. In small scale communities, this stuff is very, very simple trade, but it is the essence of capitalism. He went out, found fruit. He brought it back. He expects something in return. Insurance used to be really simple. There was a small village. Everybody built a house. Insurance existed as, if my house burns down, you will all help me build a new one. And if your house burns down, I will help you build one. And if someone didn't, they'd say, fuck you. Then we're not going to help you ever again. The fire department would sell badges you'd put on your house. And if your house was burning and they showed up and you didn't have a badge, they would let your house burn. That's the way things were. That's the nature of capitalism. And so if it's a really small group of people, the guy who finds the apples and then says, no one can have any of my apples, would just basically lie to the rest of his tribe and say there are no apples. For what purpose? What would he gain? What would he trade? And how would he benefit? He could come back with apples. And yes, still, he would have a shelter. He would have a family. He would have friends. The trade is just such dramatically small scale. There's no real need for large systems of intermediary trade like we have with dollars. But now let's say there's three tribes. One tribe finds a bunch of apples. They want to trade those apples with the other tribe who has no apples, but they have fish. So they come to mutual agreements and exchange, and perhaps then there is the creation of an intermediary so that they can exchange and trade. Why should the scout for one tribe give the other tribes all of the apples they found in exchange for nothing when they took the risk, did the work to locate and secure the apples in the first place?
Yeah, it was when tribes started settling together in cities that we really started seeing
population expansion.
Capitalism.
No, capitalism always existed. Yeah. They would use shells as a trade medium.
Like someone would bring something somewhere and
you got to 100 people, you'd have a guy and he'd be like, hey, I have a fish. And the guy says, I have a fish. And it's like, but I really need that wood. It's like, I don't need a fish. Okay, well, if I give you a shell.
Or I'll give you five fish.
No, not even. I don't need it.
The value of the fish is lower, so you can give me more of them.
No, they gave him a shell because the intermediary allows them to trade for things. But that's it advanced from barter into intermediary
trade. The point is, communism, the concept, isn't evil. Small groups, it functions, but as a national governance system, it is non-functional.
It's evil. The idea that you're entitled to someone else taking care of you, you're entitled to the time of someone else's, the effort that someone else, you're entitled to it to take care of you, that is evil.
You're not, as a child, you're not entitled to your father's
Added child, though.
Yes.
Adults, children, if you're talking about
a family unit.
Okay, a family is a family. If you're talking about adults, you're talking about adults. But when you're talking about kids, you're not talking about communism.
You're talking about formal governance.
You're talking about a family as opposed to adults that are capable. So if you're going to talk about families, when you say communism, we're talking about adults that are capable. As soon as you bring up families, you've changed the subject.
But they're not talking about people that are only capable in this world right now. They want to give to people that can't do.
Those are special cases. The reason they're special cases is because in most market economies, mixed economies, the reason you have a mixed economy is so that you can take care of the people that can't. So you have a capitalist system or a system with private property so that you can actually produce capital. So that way you can take the things you have and make more. So that way you can give to people that don't have anything. But if you are talking about a capitalist system or if you're talking about a communist system, you're talking about adults dealing with other adults. As soon as you say, well, yeah, but children, then we've stopped talking about anything that's related to communism and you're only talking about families and stuff. So if you want to talk about adults and adults, communism, where adults are expecting other adults to provide the sustenance from each according to his ability to each according to his need. If you're talking about adults doing that, that is evil because you end up with people. Human nature has proven over and over and over and over and over every time communism has tried. They have proven that people will say, I don't have to work. I'm not gonna. Old sayings in the Soviet Union, they pretend to pay us, so we pretend to work. The reason you stand in bread lines is because if you're standing in line and you have nothing to do, you're literally just taking up time because they don't have any work for you to do because the economy doesn't produce shit.
In Venezuela, when I went to buy a cell phone to manufacture fake jobs for the purpose of socialism, there were 7 different people I had to talk to and fill out forms for to buy a cell phone. In the United States, you walk to one person and say, I want that phone. They say, okay, let's fill this all out. What's your name? In Venezuela, you walk in, And someone asks you what you want. You say, I want a cell phone. Okay. Then they say to send you to the cell phone guy. The cell phone guy will show you pictures of phones. You then ask them about what the phones do and say, I want this one. Okay. Then they send you the phone acquisition guy, who then has a display case with the physical phones. You then explain to him which phone you've chosen from the phone salesman. He then goes in the back and finds the phone for you. You now have your phone. Next up, the data guy. Now you go talk to somebody who can tell you about data. Talk to this guy. And then he says, okay, now I need to talk. Now that you know which data you want, you have to fill out this form and bring this form to the data acquisition man, who then facilitates the sale of the data. I'm not kidding. Then you go to the data sale guy. And after you give him the form, pay for it, he sends you to the SIM card guy. Finally, then after you buy the SIM card, you bring it to the final guy for checkout and assembly, and you finalize everything. He puts your phone together, hands it to you, and you can leave.
To Tim's point,
fucking retarded.
In New York City, if you are working in at a venue, the theater guilds, the theater unions, the labor unions, they have pushers and loaders. If you roll up with your bus, your 18-wheeler, there are the people that will take the stuff out of the truck and put it on the ground. Those are the loaders. They will not push that stuff to the stage. There are pushers for that. Stuff. And that means, if you can have your stuff unloaded and they don't have the pushers there, you wait until the pushers go. Yep. So your whole crew is sitting around doing nothing. If I try to walk on stage after they've turned the lights off because of the union, they will literally yell at me because of the unions.
This happened in New York when we were doing our event.
Yeah.
We were doing a live show. I said, I want to check out the stage. The union crew came out yelling at us, saying that we were violating their contract or whatever by being on stage. But that's union stuff. There was a professor, this is a famous story, who was giving a lesson on communism to the students. And there were students who were arguing in favor of saying exactly what Ian is saying. So he said, okay, here's what we're going to do. The next exam we do will be based on a communistic standard. Everyone will do work. The total fruits of your labor will be divided evenly amongst everyone based on what they need. Sound good? Great. Everybody needs a passing grade. What happened? A decent amount of the students studied and passed with A's, A pluses. A large portion got B's and C's, and then a few people failed. The teacher then said, to each according to their needs, you need a passing grade. So we're going to take all of the scores from all the tests, average them out, and then give everyone the same grade, because that's the total amount of resources to be distributed amongst the people. Everyone ended up with like a B minus. So a lot of people were like, well, I had that anyway. The people who studied really hard and got it right got fucking pissed. And they were like, oh, this is bullshit. My grade's being dropped. I didn't do anything wrong. The people who failed were laughing because they were like, I didn't do shit. I hung out with my friends and drank and I get a passing grade. The next time, so next week they did another quiz, another exam. This time everyone got C minus. Why? Because the people who worked hard said, fuck that. I'm not going to bother. I'll just get a B anyway, right? Now everyone's grades dropped because nobody wanted to do the extra work if all they were going to get was a B. The cap was a B. If you do 100%, if you do the best, you still can only get a B. So fuck it. Let's stop at 80. Next week, everyone failed. Because once everyone realized that no matter how much work you did, you were capped out, they all just started slacking off and said, someone else will carry the weight for me.
Yeah, I don't
think this is exactly how all communist systems have functioned, but we got
to
go to college.
The way to convince people to shake that mindset is to acknowledge that in small groups, it functions when you have compassion, but it does not scale.
You're saying small groups because you're using the analogy of the family that we've made.
Yeah,
and
or small communities where you provide the goods. Because if you go up to someone that believes in communism is great and you say, no, you're wrong, you're an idiot, and fuck communism and fuck you, they're not going to listen to you.
It doesn't matter.
You need to acknowledge that there is some value to the concept.
You do not.
This is why.
If you want to convince somebody, you got to understand their side of view.
So this is the issue, Ian, that you've not been able to ever get over. You are arguing 17 different things at once.
No, I'm not.
You are literally.
I'm saying that communism doesn't scale up. It works in small communities.
And so when we make the point that you are misunderstanding the family argument, which was a statement of a family is communist, and as you scale up, it doesn't work. That's because there is one resource provider, the dad.
Or there could be multiple.
The breadwinner.
In the traditional family, where the argument comes from that a family is communist, there is one.
Just talk about a tribe. Provider. Talk about a tribe where everybody knows each other.
A tribe 60 is very
to 40
different.
People.
60 to 40 people.
20 hunters, 20 fishers, three guys are farming. Stuff like that. You know, where they're all sharing stuff.
You still don't have communism.
That would be a form of communism that would work in small doses.
It's still not communism.
Capitalism wouldn't work in that system.
Your tribal systems have leaders.
Yeah.
Communism says from each according to their ability to each according to their
need. Leader wouldn't be hoarding all the capital in that system. That would be dangerous.
That's what communism is.
That's what it is.
No, communism that's capitalism.
No, it's not.
If the tribal chieftain says I own all of this
that's
and all
communism.
Of you, that would also
that's
be slavery.
That is literally
that's
what happens in every communist state.
It is
as
literally
they scale
the,
up. That's
it,
the
no,
point.
No, it is literally the basis of all communism ever that the authority controls all resources and literally, I will say it again, provides to each according to their need and from each according to their ability. Quite literally saying, there will be a system in place by which a small group of people determine your abilities and your requirements. You do not get to
decide. That's going to happen in capitalism too.
In capitalism, you have someone who has the choice to say, go fuck yourself.
Wait, who? Donald Trump?
You.
Who gets to say go fuck yourself in
you.
This capitalism?
Who banks? Every single person that decides I don't want to do business with you.
The banks that own your fucking debt?
Every single person.
I have no debt. Ian, why?
All your money is debt.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
I have no debt.
The Federal Reserve loaned all that shit to you, dude.
Listen, Ian.
It owns all the capital.
Here's the fuck you, ready? I chose to give Steve Jobs money by buying this. I could have said fuck you and never bought this product. Right, there was no tyrannical force involved. There was nobody that said I had to do it. There was not one guy who said, we have to purchase these iPhones. Right? I think the fuck you is the consumer can say that. Now, you might say, well, what if you're starving? Right? You can't say fuck you and walk away from food. But in a true capitalist society, it's the consumer choosing, making that choice. And because this was provided, a product was provided. And then we all say, hey, it's worth it. I see some Androids around here, so maybe people would disagree. But what I'm saying is that's the fuck you moment. The thing with the family, though, that's interesting to me, there's no tyrannical force in a family. Sure, you could say the parents are the ones that decide, but you're not turning over the law system. You're not turning, like, these families exist right now. If you say an American family, you know, there are basic laws that the government has on the books, but a dad can't all of a sudden legalize murder, right? And like, they're not in charge of everything.
And children can leave at 18. Or arguably, they can file paperwork and leave at 16.
But that's the missing piece. A family doesn't have some government that gives them all authority and power.
From each according to their ability to each according to their need fundamentally requires an individual committee or authority to determine a person's ability and needs.
That's Marx. That's Marxism.
Sure.
Yeah.
But the idea
that was,
of,
and that was the formation and basis.
He's trying to scale that shit up and it did not work.
Capitalism would be. The government says you have the ability to work 10 times harder and you don't need that much food and you can go fuck yourself. I can do whatever I want.
And you have to live with the repercussions of that decision.
Yeah, maybe you live, maybe you live in the gutter. And then people eventually say, we don't want you living in the gutter because you smell like shit. Get the fuck out of here. And they kick you out and then you go wander around the country and then you struggle. Or you say, I'm going to, I don't know. Here's capitalism. I can actually grow 20% more crops that I actually need. I can then take the extra crops and bring it to a leather worker in town who's going to make me a nice studded leather vest to protect me from the brambles as I do my work, making it more efficient and easier for me to do my work. In communism, an authority determines you do not need that extra 20%, but you have the ability to produce it. So from your ability, you must produce 20% more than everyone else. And to your needs, we will take it from you and give it to other people. That's communism.
I don't think that it necessarily forces you to produce more than you need.
From communism. Each according to their ability. If you have the ability to produce 100 bushels of wheat, you must do it.
If you
only need
Marx,
10,
dude.
That's what communism's formation
is. Marxism. That's Marxism. Fucked it up.
He tried to scale it up. Communism. Marx wrote a book called Capital. Communism comes from Marx. Socialism as a concept did predate Marx, right? Mm-hmm. So Rousseau was talking about socialism. There are people that argue that Hegel was laying the foundation for socialism because the way that Hegel looked at the state, Hegel believed that the state was God's manifestation on earth, was the manifestation of the will of God on earth, and that There are arguments that Hegel was the first guy that came up or was early socialism, but Marx was the guy that came up communism. If you're talking about communism,
you want to just read that for him, Phil?
Let's see which one. Which part? What Lenin was influenced by the works of Karl Marx. In September 1889, the Ulyanov family moved to the city of Samara, where Lenin joined Alexei Skylarenko's socialist discussion circle. So, but communism came from Marx first. If you're talking about the things you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah, and just before we do this, I want to say, Ian, you should read Wealth of Nations by Adam Smith, because he talks about monopolies and why monopolies are bad explicitly. He has a whole thing talking about it. Just to quickly address that. Anyways, let's talk to Dave the Lego guy, because I like Legos, and I built a Lego this weekend. It was a scorpion. It was pretty sick.
Sick.
How you doing, Dave?
I just want to say something real quick, Dave. Before you get started, Dave.
1 second, Dave.
The amount of work that I am capable of doing is painful, and I do it every day. And if I were to only receive what I needed, $80,000 a year, but I had to work what I was capable of working, I would kill myself.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean,
that's happened in communism before.
That's true.
It has happened.
Literally.
Overwhelmingly. Anyway, Dave.
Anyways, Dave, sorry, man.
Hey, guys. Glad to be back. This is, what, my third time on?
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, what's going on, man?
Yeah. Oh. So, I actually have, like, the most on-point question today. It just worked out that way. My question is actually for the whole panel. Serge, even you can answer on this one. I filed my taxes yesterday. Drag. And I got a historically low return on my taxes. And my tax guy was saying that's happening across the board.
Thanks, Joe.
So my question is, have you guys noticed in your higher tax brackets that the government is keeping more of our money?
I have given the government so much of my money. It is remarkable. In fact, I could probably fund a small village. Holy shit. If I didn't have to pay taxes, like it would be absolutely nuts. The only reason taxes exist is because they want to pull money out of the money supply because they're printing it. Yeah. So that's how they steal. Yep. They will give loans, create money upon the issuance of debt, and then take money from you to erase the money they put out. It's a way of taking your money out of circulation to control for inflation. That's all they're really doing. That being said, as my accountant has informed me, since Donald Trump left office, the tax cuts have expired and Joe Biden has increased taxes substantially, and it has been brutal for literally everybody. Mm-hmm. And they're particularly going after the small earner. They don't care as much for the ultra wealthy because they've already got a mechanism in place for going after the ultra wealthy. And more importantly, as anybody who knows economics will tell you, going after the ultra wealthy is a waste of time if you can go after a small groups in mass. Yep. That's why they brought on, what, 80K IRS agents. It's as simple as this. It is easier to get $1 from a million people than it is to get $1 million from one person. You go to the wealthy guy. And you say, you owe us $1 million. And he says, no, I don't. And they say, yes, you do. And he says, I will see you in court. You're going to spend $400,000 coming after me. Maybe you'll get the money. Or they send a bill automated from a computer to 1 million people saying you owe us 10 bucks. And they all just say, fuck it. It's easier just to pay it. And they do.
Yeah. What do you pay? You pay West Virginia? Is that?
Well, we operate in a bunch of places.
Okay.
But so, we pay a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure the state stuff. That's the one thing for me.
West Virginia is reforming their taxes because they know they're fucked. West Virginia is a very dysfunctional state, and it's time to fix things, guys. Yeah, Maryland's also very dysfunctional.
When moving to Florida, I got to tell you, like, from Pennsylvania, moving to Florida, my wife's Air Force, and it's like, you don't even have to file, right? It's not like you file, and it's like, there's nothing local, there's no state, you literally just do nothing.
And it high is, property tax, though.
Yeah, but it is just, to me, it was just night and day. Oh, wow. You know, only have to file one with the feds.
Yeah. And then the West Virginia bill is pretty hefty. Yeah. But they're happy we're here. So my advice to West Virginia is stop the fucking weirdo drag kid shit. Otherwise, we pull our investment and we go to Texas or Florida.
Florida's great.
I wanted to go to Wyoming.
I do have a second part to my quest.
Get it.
Quickly, Owen. We gotta wait today.
Okay. So with that being said, you know, they're keeping more of our money. What recourse do we have to, like, basically cut the fund for, like, the migrant crisis, the foreign wars? Like, with the guests that you guys have had on in the past or that you guys are aware that's going on, what are some recourses that we have to, like, turn off the tap with the government to stop funding all this crap that we don't want.
Our taxes going towards. They're not using your taxes to fund that stuff. They create money in the money supply upon the issuance of debt. They just snap their fingers. Yep. When they raise the debt ceiling, they're quite literally saying, we will just fabricate that money.
Yep.
So when they're taking from you, it's after the fact, and it's to control for inflation. If they don't take from you and they pump money into the supply, inflation goes up. That's all that happens.
Yep.
Oh, I see.
The real issue, and this is why I complain about all the time, the real issue is the cunts and the cocksuckers in CBP who, with smiles on their faces, accept the blood money from the Biden administration and the federal government.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, the argument gets framed a lot that, oh, there, our tax money is going towards these things. And well, so maybe that gets conflated a bit where people think that, like, literally my tax money is paying for these migrants and stuff. Well, and
the way
where you just pointed out that, no, it's
in New York, it is
controlling after the fact.
The states do not print money. So but they do receive federal grants. So it's a mixed bag. But the reality is, we have a nation of amoral pieces of shit in law enforcement, in federal agencies that don't care. And they won't care because when that cop takes money to facilitate human smuggling, he knows that he can go to any McDonald's and that money is fungible. Doesn't matter. Ain't no clerk at McDonald's going to deny him his cheeseburger. But think about a world in which this cop facilitates human smuggling with a smile on his face, walks into Burger King, and he's like, let me get the Whopper meal. And the guy goes, no, fuck you. You're a human smuggler. He goes, what? You get the fuck out. Then he leaves. Then he goes to the McDonald's across the street. Get the fuck out of here, smuggler. Then he realizes, holy shit, my money is no longer fungible. I can buy nothing with it. Mm-hmm. Then they stop accepting it. Then they say, I won't do this job because it means I can't buy a fucking cheeseburger. But as long as we live in this massive, mechanized, industrialized world, especially with kiosks, oh boy, you think it's bad now. Wait till it's all kiosks. You're going to have cops who will mercilessly, when we get to the point where there's no more humans involved in the day-to-day living circumstances, like you order food from a machine, the machine makes it, a police officer will, right now, if there's a 7-year-old kid holding a teddy bear and a police chief says to his cop, shoot that kid in the face, the cop's going to be like, what, why, what the fuck, are you nuts? Mechanize everything. And that cop's going to be wearing a fucking wristband or Apple Vision Pro. The Apple Vision's going to say, terminate target, threat level alpha. And he's going to go, you got it. Bang, shoot it and kill it. And then he's going to get money deposited into his account, which he will then send to Amazon to deliver by drone the milk he needs to eat. And he never has to worry about getting canceled ever again. However, to be fair, at that point, society, it will be a robot dog shooting the child. So there won't even be a human to get paid.
Things are gonna get weird.
Anyway, we do gotta
try to get going here. Thanks, Dave.
Keep it positive.
Yep. Have a good one, guys.
Cheers, buddy.
Cheers, man. Sinosky, aka Extreme Retard. How are you doing today?
I love you.
Howdy, howdy.
Hey, howdy, man.
So, you know, I try to do these cold openings every night. Time I call in, it's gonna invoke a memorable response. And you guys upped the spicy game tonight with your communism conversation. So I'm
Phil was
really
almost
hard.
Singing.
Yeah. It was beautiful. I think we have lyrics.
So I found out today that I lost the game.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Where'd you leave it?
Did you put it? Which game?
No, well, that's the game. If you hear the game, if you think of the game, if someone says the game and you hear the game, you lose the game. That's how you lose the game.
We just lost.
Yeah.
Sorry.
As soon as you think of the game, you lose the game, you motherfucker.
I just thought of Baldur's Gate.
So several thousand people just lost the game.
Yeah, actually,
awesome,
that's
God,
true.
Thank you, me.
A lot of people.
So my actual question is, in your segments, Tim, today, even your opener tonight, you talked about Letitia James threatening to seize the Trump assets if he refuses to pay. So while any of us paying attention see it for what it is, it's just theft and bullshit. What are your actual opinions on whether or not they would then sell that property for what it's actually valued at? Do you think anyone would notice?
No, they're going to turn it into migrant housing.
They thought that ahead.
They're going to turn it into migrant housing.
Yeah.
They've already basically done it. Bill de Blasio wanted to buy low cost property to convert to public housing. He has stated that it was intention to do this. I think their move is ultimately, if they win, seize Trump buildings, maybe Fifth Avenue, the UN, the hotel at the UN, and maybe Columbus Circle, and then they convert it into public housing.
Yeah.
Value won't matter.
Interesting. I agree with that.
Yeah. So it's how the city, you know, de Blasio was like, he wanted to convert these, he wanted to buy these buildings, pennies in the dollar, convert them into public housing. He couldn't do it. Here's one way you do it. Mm-hmm. Claim $1 billion of the buildings in New York are worth 20 million and you get them for free and you turn them into migrant housing. Then you argue Trump owes you more money. And when he's forced to pay you cash, you use that to facilitate the migrant housing. And then they're laughing behind the scenes saying Donald Trump was going to build a wall, but in the end, he funded the migrant expansion.
Yeah, always something like that.
Isn't it good?
Hey, Sinowski, anything else to add to that, man?
Quiet Part Podcast, check it out. Though I'm probably going to get a lot of hate mail now for that one. Yeah, so.
You're definitely going to get a lot of hate for that one.
All right, yeah, cheers, man. Thanks,
well,
Colin.
I'm making up a game called The Game, and when you think of it, you win.
Sick.
So we all just won my game.
Count me in.
There we go. You're a winner.
I prefer this game.
No Town Anarchy. I thought it said nothing else. No Town Anarchy. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, everybody? And if you think about the game, but you acknowledge that the game happened, you don't lose.
Now, he got me before I could acknowledge.
Yeah. I asked a question and then somebody backed out on a question about abortion and what's happening with Alabama and their Supreme Court. And they're defining life down to like retroactively like embryos, you know, that are frozen, like that's life, you know, and how do we define life and this crazy world that we live in where like motherfuckers are like, you're a baby and you were born, but you're not alive. We kill you. And then, and you know, all this money that they make off of like aborted fetuses and stuff. And most of these motherfuckers that vote for this crazy shit don't even realize who like Margaret Sanger is or like, like how that all started and the craziness of it. And it just ties into like, you got a Supreme Court justice that can't even define woman, and her fucking job is to like define shit.
She's not a biologist.
You know, I'm just, and this is for everybody. I love you all, and I would love to hear everybody's thoughts on this subject.
So the issue in Alabama is that they ruled that frozen embryos are children for the purpose of this like particular suit or whatever. But now people are saying, okay, well, they didn't issue a ruling on whether babies in the womb are. So what's the question? Well, then the ultimate determination is life begins at conception.
Life begin?
Conception. That's done. So they said
for me, it's like when a cell divides, motherfucker. You know, like,
well, no, cell division like, is after conception.
They can divide a cell, but like you can't create that cell.
But cell division is after conception. You know. Cell division is after conception. The moment
I realize, but they can't create the cell though. You know what I mean? Like, okay, you know, if their definition is like they can divide a cell, but they can't create that cell. So what right do they have to determine who's worthy of life or not? You know,
It's different. Defining life and defining a human child are two different things.
Well, I mean, if we're able to define it for animals and, you know, this species is protected and this one's not, but like we make money off of.
Yeah. Stepping on a turtle leg is a felony because. It's
it's insane. We can define this and that. And I mean.
Well, do you have a more specific question, sir?
Well, the question is like, okay, so like where do we as a society have a right to define life? And in my opinion, it would be like
conception,
you know, and like you have all this like craziness, like, well, you know, the woman has the right to choose or whatever. And then we have all this like, funding of like people being able to just like do this crazy shit. And then you have a state like Alabama coming out and actually defining for a Supreme Court justice, basically, you know, like what life is. And now you have this bifurcation, you know, among states and the federal government, you know, just perpetuating
the states and the federal government are bifurcated on like a million different issues, abortion just being one of the most
popular. And honestly, coming from like mostly like a background of like being pretty much pro-abortion, like I see this as like a losing issue for Republicans, except for the, I mean, like Alabama's kind of taken the, they're taking the front on like, well, this is how we define life. And our Supreme Court justices can't even do that.
Right.
And maybe there's a reason for that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
All right on, man.
Well, anyway, yeah, I thank you guys for taking my question, letting me rant a little bit.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, man.
Cheers.
Peace.
Take care, man.
We had the Alabama story lined up. We didn't get to it. Yeah. It's been like, there's not much there other than to say they did it, you know?
They say it's a human child. A frozen embryo is a human child.
Yep. And it is.
All right. We got Conspiracy Ranch on the caboose. How are you?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Hi.
Yeah, yes. Loud and clear.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Phil, thank God you're on.
Cheers.
All right. So I had a question, and Ian touched on it, so I'm going to go a little conspiratorial on my question. So we were talking about bringing all these immigrants in and offering them citizenship to do military service, or now they're coming into different cities and being in Illinois and being granted the ability to be police officers and blah, 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 blah. We're talking, and then Tim, you brought up all the housing and what they're going to do with all the low-income buildings and what they want to do. You're going to start housing all those people. Yeah, yeah. What if they're not building an army for us to go to Ukraine? What if they are building an army for the cities, since the Republicans continuously keep saying, you're not going to beat right wingers, we have guns?
Well, yeah, that was one of the principal predictions, that when it comes time to civil war, they will go to the illegal immigrants and say, do you want to live here or not? If you do, then you have to fight for it. And then the argument will be the moral question over they'll say that voting is a human right. It doesn't matter if you're a citizen or not. That's an arbitrary distinction. And they will liken citizenship to being like, they'll say undocumented is like being a slave. That's the argument they're going to make. Then there's going to be illegal immigrant uprisings, and they're going to call them undocumented uprisings. They will make the argument that documentation is slavery. They will make that the moral issue. And then, in 50 years, they want the history books to say that there were, you know, free, you know, the neo-Confederacy believed that people must have papers from the government to prove their human rights. And that was so wrong. And there will be people being like, can you believe they used to believe in like forced government documentation to get human rights? That's crazy.
No, I get you. And I'm looking more of along the lines of they are going to be acting as the French against the British. Because we've all quit, because they forced the military out before they've sent everybody home, we're not going to fight for you. Okay. Well, now we have a full military force and we have the backing of the federal government. Now we have created our own civil war by letting them in, and we're essentially letting in our opposition force.
I love how Democrats say stuff like losers in 1861 and y'all are going to lose again. And I'm like, guys, the Democrats were the slavers. You guys lost. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. Southern Democrats. People forget.
Anyway, have a good night, guys.
Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks for calling in.
Hey, cheers, man. Great question. Concise and everything, too.
Wow, we ended up, even after all the communist screaming, made it through and got done on time.
That was good.
Thanks for hanging out.
Appreciate y'all having
been
me.
Fun.
Yeah, I'm going to need like 3 hours to do that communism conversation, right? We should have a real communist on here and then just go at it.
Yeah, there's no such thing, because communism
for four
is...
hours.
Communists believe they have a right that the ends justify the means, so they have a right to lie to you to achieve their
aims.
Yeah,
get one of those guys on here and let's do
this. Why, they'll just lie about everything.
Exactly.
They demand
I'm the steel man, dude.
They
I don't love
hours.
Communism. Don't get
they
me wrong.
Get 3 hours, and it's against the rules. You cannot cut them off.
All right, we're going to wrap it up, everybody. Thanks for hanging out. We got a fun week. Tomorrow is going to be based as fuck. Should we say who's tomorrow?
I mean, if you want to.
I think we should.
Is there a risk of it not working out? Or
I hope not, like, but it's Kirk Cameron.
Yeah, there you go.
Dude, I'm so excited for Kirk Cameron. Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And we've been trying to book him for a really, really long time. It's going to be a fun conversation. Hopefully he makes it, but I'm really excited. So thanks for hanging out, and we'll see you all tomorrow.